actually heard in the past on it, except we're just waiting for the, everybody to be satisfied with the committee substitute that we have before us. And it might be that before today's session is over, that might be accomplished. The other bill is the elections bill, which we really didn't expect to be finished today. The draft CS is out. However, people have not had a chance to look it over yet. And since we're combining two bills into one in that CS, we'll hold that over until Wednesday definitely. But maybe we can deal with the adoption bill today and after we disclose the House Bill 48. For the record, I might say that we've got House Bill 48 up today. Then we have two other bills on the same general subject area of legislative pay and for that matter, executive and judicial branch pay as well. And those bills are scheduled for tomorrow. So the presumption would be we'll hear 48 today, and then we'll make our decisions about what to pass out tomorrow. And all three bills will be on the table tomorrow for action by the committee. But we will only hear House Bill 48 today.
Mining.
The prime sponsor and co-sponsor of that legislation are both with us right now, Representative Purley and Representative Parcheau. In fact, if you'd both like to join at the table, that would be fine, or you can do it separately, whichever you prefer. We'll hear your comments on the legislation.
You can tell there's a lot of people interested in
this. Yeah, right.
Just to say, before you get started, Representative Purley, let me say that we have a suggested committee substitute, but I can't find it.
It's not in here.
Okay.
Yeah, I discussed that with your staff.
Okay. We have a proposed committee substitute, which is, let me say, almost exactly what the referendum or the initiative calls for. The only difference is this: whereas the initiative would take place 90 days after adoption, this would committee substitute would take place January 19th, as is mentioned in the bill. Legislative pay would stay the same as it is until January 19th, and after January 19th, it would be reduced to the same rate called for by the initiative and also called for by Representative Burley and Porcho's bill. And the only other difference between the committee substitute and the initiative bill and the bill before from Representative Hurley is Section 3. This was a provision of the initiative, and this is the part that says legislative fiscal officer shall each year file with the Office of OMB a report of all vouchers approved for payment. This was part of the initiative bill. Therefore, the thought was that it probably should be added on to Representative Hurley's bill so that it would conform in its entirety to the initiative bill, and there would be no particular reason for anybody who promoted the initiative to be dissatisfied with the bill. And with that explanation of differences, I'll give the chair to, or give the witness chair to, Representative Brody.
Mr. Chairman and a member of the Judiciary Committee, I don't have a long statement, but I have a couple of points that I wanted to bring forth. House Bill 48 was pre-filed last year to repeal the pay raise. I did so out of a personal conviction that the legislature was giving itself a raise not commensurate with its duties, and because I felt it important to respond to those 26,000 Alaskans who signed the petition calling for repeal. And having this issue before the people will take away from the other important issues which need to be discussed during a campaign. I don't believe the framers of the Constitution envisioned professional full-time legislators, but rather a citizen legislature where people could work at another job and run for office. I do believe in people being compensated adequately for the time they serve, but the very generous retirement benefits that were part of the raise was not fully debated. I know how hard legislators work during session, and I know that constituents call upon legislators to intercede for them between sessions, but most legislators work at other jobs when the legislature is not in session. However, I'm not here to argue the amount of time one spends on legislative business. It is enough that the public feels that the raise was self-serving. During the hearing on this bill in state affairs last session, the matter of who should set the salaries was raised. And because of the need to avoid action, as was taken in 1983, I favored the constitutional amendment and the establishment of a salary commission. This bill, House Bill 48, which I would have preferred to have passed last year, will remove the initiative from the ballot. I have discussed it with the Lieutenant Governor and he agrees. However, in order to avoid any court challenge which might delay that action, I am supportive of using additional language from the initiative and have discussed that with your staff. And I also want to note that I believe that the other legislators last session did take note of the fact that the public was aware of the need for the pay repeal when they specifically excluded legislators from the pay raise for other state employees. And I'm grateful to Representative Boucher, Pichot and Boucher, and Representative Pettyjohn for having joined with me on that bill. I think with that, Representative Pichot, you have something that you wanted to add.
Does anybody have any specific questions for Representative Hurley?
I do.
Pettyjohn.
How do you feel about making the effective date January 19, 1987?
Well, of course, the proposal is because that puts it into effect sooner than the repeal, and if we don't, I mean, then the initiative, and I favor it for that reason.
Then hold it.
Because if we don't repeal it, it's my understanding, I got this straight from the with the people who know about initiatives and other lawyers. I didn't discuss it with you, but but that if you don't repeal it and the initiative passes, the initiative can't take effect until sometime in March, I think it is.
Could be that late, 90 days after.
It could be as late as March, and by putting this into the repeal language, that would mean that it would take effect about the beginning of the session of the legislature. And there's a lot to be said about people having been elected thinking that they were going to get one salary, but that's not the important issue. The important issue to me is that if we're going to repeal it, we better have it take effect sooner than we should do it rather than have the people do it.
Well, the original bill that you sponsored said that had no effective
date.
Had no
effective date,
so that would mean
right.
That typically it would become effective, say, in the beginning of September or something like that in a normal year. And your position is now that you would rather it became effective in January of 87 rather than September.
Well, my position is not that. My position is still that I think it would be good to have an emergency clause and, you know, take care of it, but that I don't believe is reality.
Mm. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions for Representative Hurley? Thank you very much, Chairman. I appreciate you. Corshaw?
I would just echo Representative Hurley's statement. I'd also like to just pass out some little editorial reading for what it's worth. Just as I'm sure you've all seen it or chosen not to see these editorials, but I think the major point is it's an issue that isn't going away. I don't think it will go away. And as Representative Hurley said, I think that one of the themes that we've been echoing this past year or so is that we need to take action before the voters slap our hands for something that we can see fairly vividly coming down the pike. And I appreciate the chairman's bringing this up at this time. I would also comment that probably the changes, excluding the date change, the change that would provide for the per diem report at the end and the change providing for exact for actual expenditures reimbursement during the interim, not only I think does that make good sense to avoid any constitutional problems for the Lieutenant Governor in determining whether or not this is, you know, substantially takes the place of the initiative. But in addition, I just speak for myself. I think those two provisions are good ones. And are superior to the exact language that was in place in statute prior to this coming.
Phillips, I think, has a question.
Well, Pat, I think the constituents are going to probably disagree with you on your statement on reimbursing the actual expenses incurred while on committee bills in the interim. I had a survey that I said, now John's got it now, but I had that actual wording in there, and that was a flagger. Everybody underlined that and said, no.
Well, Mr. Chairman, go ahead.
Yeah,
well, anyway, that was one of the things that was a red flag in their mind. Anyway, I just want to point that out.
I agree with the per diem system. I think it works better, but because what happens when you get into actual expenses is that there's no incentive to stay at the Voyager rather than the Cook if you want to, or go to the Sheraton. There's no incentive to take a $40 room. We might as well take a $70 room or a $100 room. And, you know, like this year, I think there was, what, a $31 a day limit on food per day. But under the language I read here, under actual expenses, there's no limit on food either. So, although I think they probably would exclude the liquor out of it.
Question. Do you want to respond?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, as Representative Sun knows, this was discussed during deliberations of the Interim Salary Commission, and someone raised the point, who gave the authority to set $31 as the limit for food, for example? Who gave the authority to exclude liquor? The answer, of course, was, I believe, Ledge Council set these up. Mm-hmm. I would view Ledge Council fully capable of implementing this also. When I don't read it the way you have, when it says actual expenditures, I don't read that as any and all actual expenditures. Certainly there would be implementing guidelines that I would foresee as limiting various categories of expenditures within that. But I think the main point is missed here. The system that we had before in per diem was criticized because people were drawing per diem for interim work in their hometowns, and I think that was the key thing that was found objectionable in the old per diem system during the interim.
Just, I might want to interject one thing, too. It's the person I've had this particular committee substitute drafted, and that is, in a sense, it doesn't make a bit of difference. I think I agree that per diem is the better system if you're going to do it, but it doesn't really make a bit of difference because the initiative has this language in it, and if we want to conform to the initiative and not risk getting an initiative tied up in the courts for any place from several weeks to several months, I think we've just got to go with the initiative. You know, anybody can slightly guess, I'm not at all a fan of the initiative, but this is the language, so.
You mean this reimbursement language?
This reimbursement language is in the initiative, exactly so.
Well, that's going to be real, there's going to be plenty of uses for that. Let me guarantee that.
Well, you know, we'll have, you know, there'll be some time, some adjustments we made, if there's some uses, we can hopefully.
I'm sorry, I only got in the middle of this, but I have to say, you're discussing, I assume, subsection C and the right to receive actual expenses. Of course, that's drastically limited from what the practice was prior to the change in the system, because right now you don't get any per diem unless you're on an interim committee, or under this committee substitute. Many of the abuses that many of us perceived to be going on in the per diem system were people that were carrying out legislative business that was not part of the interim committee. Well, this is pretty.
One of the things that committee council just pointed out too, and this also is consistent with the initiative, is at the end you'll see that there is a report each year compiled by legislators, and anybody that stays Captain Cook, the governor's lounge or the governor's suite or whatever they call the thing, the president's suite, too many times, probably faces a little wrath from.
Mr. Chairman,
I think I was saying earlier, I'd like to respond and then I'll call it.
The only question that I have, and I want to be sure that you've checked with the legislative drafters, and that's what they told me in the very beginning when I pre-filed the bill, that I had to put the language in the bill that was exactly the way per diem was before, or that wouldn't be a repeal. And that's the only fear that I have, is that I don't want to meddle with it so that, you know, we're going to have it taken to court to be sure that it's right. And I urge all of you attorneys to be sure that that is clear, because that's what they told me, because I wanted just a one-liner, the thing is repealed. And they said, no, you have to put it back to the way to put all the stuff all the language regarding per diem in there, so it's exactly as it was before. Now, if this is changing that, I'm afraid that we maybe have a little problem
there. This keeps us out of court, because this is exactly the same as initiative.
That's the difference, Mr. Chairman.
Is that what that is in there about the committee?
That the initiative is different than the old law. So if you wrote a bill stating, I want to go back to exactly like it was before it was repealed, you're going to come up with something different than what is on the initiative. So what this bill here is the initiative.
This is all the initiative language, is exactly as it is. Except for this beginning January 19, that isn't the same.
No, that's right.
No, but that's sooner than what the initiative.
That's even sooner than the initiative, and that's another reason why the Lieutenant Governor felt comfortable that he could take it off the ballot, because this would implement even sooner than the initiative would.
I hope that we're doing the right thing, because that's what is our intention.
I'm a little confused.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like you're both saying that this is exactly what it ought to be. What am I missing?
I'm agreeable to the initiative language.
Congressman Burley asked for her bill to be drafted. She asked the drafters to put back the pay scheme exactly as it was before it was repealed. Which they did. The initiative didn't reinstitute it exactly like it was. The initiative has some little changes in it.
And that's what your bill
is. See, that's what we have to make clear to the public then, Representative Sun, don't you think? We have to make that clear to the public, that we're not dreaming up some big bonanza for legislators by saying actual expenses.
I can assure you this is not a bonanza. In my definition of bonanza, this is not a bonanza.
And the chairman's version is this, except for January 19th.
Except for January 19th, it's totally consistent with the initiative.
Which it seems to me like would be the safer method of going.
Mr.
Phillips,
thank you.
Where you want to go? Do you have a question or
if we want to get about the ballot.
That's why I'm thinking about what you're saying here, and I've got my original question.
Okay, well, as I mentioned earlier, we'll not be passing this out today, because we will be on the same subject, general subject matter tomorrow, and we'll do all three.
There was a comment I want to make, and I realize this is part of the initiative. You know, Katie, I want you to hear this, that this reporting business at the end of the year, I mean, and I know what you're trying to do, but, you know, the proponents of this initiative, I mean, it's reported now. The newspaper guys love it anyway. I mean, you know, if you try to hide it, that makes it even better for them. So, I mean, it's public information, and there has been abuses. But what's being done? What does a report do? Big deal. You have a report. Big deal. It doesn't supply what I call a punishment for violating, not violation of laws, but just abusing the system. Well, we have, you know, the case I'm talking about, the moving expenses. I mean, that, you know, there's no penalty there. I mean, even though it's been publicly reported and all this other stuff, it's not being corrected. And that's the problem I have with this thing.
Well, I only agree, it's part of the initiative language,
understand
and
that.
If we have to go that way.
I know, but it doesn't.
Chairman, I have one.
The comment I have to you, Randy, is I guess ultimate responsibility goes with the voters of this district.
Yep.
They don't want to go there, but I just want to make one comment here. I know it's in the initiative and reading it, but I do have a little separation of powers question here, the fact that it's required that legislative shall report to the Office of Management and Budget, which is in the executive branch.
Mm.
And
yeah.
If we're going to take the language literally, we take it literally, I guess, but I'm just wondering what our requirements are to send legislative reports over to OMB and what they're required to do with them.
Looks like you're on the wrong side of the paper.
Just an issue there, but that's.
Mr. Chairman, the Lieutenant Governor did say to me that he felt that the language, that all he needs is to have something passed by the legislature that, in effect, does what the initiative, and I think you could leave that off, probably, that paragraph, but that's up to the committee.
Personally, I would be very hesitant to take anything out of the bill that was in the initiative. We want to be squeaky clean and make sure there's no challenge. You know, I think we'll take the initiative language, Mr. Goodberg.
Let me ask you, is there a problem with this, a reason why we couldn't pass out the committee substitute?
Yes, because we've got three bills on this whole subject. It would be premature for us to be taking just part of it.
Oh, okay. We're not. There are other bills we're not considering.
Tomorrow we have bills that are coming to us from the commission, the election committee or the salary committee. One of them is a committee. One of them is a bill authorizing a salary commission. The other is a joint resolution for amendment to the Constitution establishing a salary commission. And since they're all part of the same. Schedule issue is part of the hearing at this time. Do we have further questions among the members of the committee? If not, then we'll vote the files and carry over till tomorrow. I was going to call for Nat Ease.
My wife's on the phone.
Okay.
Maybe you have 5 minutes.
Yeah, we'll just stand at ease for 5 minutes. I'll check with the clock.
We're close. If this bill were to pass,
I noticed, but I had not noted. So we will at this time take up House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 187, an act relating to adoption and providing for an effective date.
For the purpose of discussion, should I move the latest committee substitute?
Yeah, you better describe
131.
Yeah, not 0131, but 131.
Gotcha. Okay.
By Hine.
131 by Hine. I move it for the purpose of discussion. This was like the 4:30 Friday version.
Okay, so objection to that motion. Hearing then, the version we'll be considering is that version.
I think, Mr. Chairman, I think this should have taken, except for anything that the majority leader has now, should have taken all your concerns and all anybody else's concerns ad nauseum. They're going to, I think they're in here. If I sounded short earlier, I apologize. Whatever you need to do.
I didn't read.
I'm ready to go.
You
want to
move the bill?
Yes.
I move the bill with individual recommendations.
Okay, is there an objection to that motion? Hearing none. Mark found that today. We can move the.
I thank you.
House
what
Bill
is
136.
Senate
Bill 136.
With individual recommendations. Do this again?
Wise guy.
Special instructions. There's a series of boxes here that each of
you. Pass, do not pass.
Pass only if I die before the year.
Is there a committee?
Sexual analysis coming out by staff to tell us what the latest version is?
Yeah, it would be nice.
I'll get a section done.
Okay. There's nothing more important.
I think
to come before the committee. We'll stand adjourned and don't leave until you've had a chance to sign the bill.
And I'll make sure it's distributed in your boxes. Or I guess just put it in your box.
Just, are we off the record here?
We're off the record.
The